We're taking you to the streets of Turkey, where a currency crisis is deepening by the day. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Protests have broken out in Turkey as people grow increasingly concerned about surging prices and a rapidly depreciating currency. That's the sound of shopkeepers gathered in the southern city of Diyarbakir. They're clapping as some in the group burn what appear to be U.S. dollar replicas. This shopkeeper says he's had enough. He explains that others like him cannot sleep and they keep worrying about what will happen next. Unpaid rent, he says, is piling up. Goods are not bought or sold. And nobody, he says, shares our burden. This all stems from a sharp drop in the value of the Turkish currency, the lira, to a record low. That's after last week's central bank decision to cut interest rates despite inflation running at a red-hot 20%. After plunging 15% yesterday, this morning, the lira has recovered some of its early losses. The effects of all of this, though, are already very real for people there. Reports show supermarkets are beginning to ration things like flour and sugar. We're told prices on a range of goods and services are rising. And a sales rep at Apple in Istanbul told Reuters that customers are thinking about purchasing electronics, not just to use, but to store value. We called Murat Gulkin, the chief executive of OMG Capital Advisors in Istanbul, to give us a sense of how people are feeling.
In a matter of weeks or days, you know, the currency has depreciated substantially, and that's resulted in severe price hikes in many basic goods and services. We're talking things like, you know, flour, cooking oil, sugar. And in the meantime, we're also seeing trade terms or trade on credit grinding to a halt. In particular, many commodity-like items, things like, you know, iron and steel, fertilizer, construction materials, are no longer being sold on credit. I think, you know, all in all, unfortunately, we are reinventing the wheel and rediscovering what happens when you depreciate your currency so rapidly and you refuse to acknowledge the presence of inflation. And instead of trying to curb inflation, you take steps to further exacerbate the currency's depreciation in the form of excessively loose monetary policy. And I don't think that the present situation is sustainable beyond a few weeks at best, if not a few days.
Yeah, the president met with the central bank chief yesterday and insisted again that higher interest rates will not combat this inflation. And obviously, as you've been explaining, this sort of flies in the face of conventional economic theory. But is there a point at which he will sort of give in and allow rates to rise?
I think this will end in one of two ways. One is that they do an about face and raise rates. This will have severe repercussions, of course, and also the, if you will, dose of the medicine now has to be much greater than what it would have been otherwise. So it'll have to be a much more substantial and greater rate hike than what would have been necessary just a few short months ago. And option number two is, I'm afraid, a good chance that we might stumble into some sort of a default slash at least soft capital control type of scenario. And I don't think anybody knows which way the president will exercise his options.
And just to put this in perspective, I mean, people have seen the value of the money in their pocket plummet 22% this week alone. Are people concerned about the safety of or their access to cash at this point?
We're not seeing any excessive demand on banks, any bank run kind of situation. That's a good thing. You know, people maintain their faith in the banking system. We're also not seeing any foreign investor-led speculative attack on the lira either. Things have unraveled so quickly that nobody's really acted on these. But the situation is clearly unsustainable. In a matter of weeks, if not days, I think we'll either devolve into further chaos or there'll be a massive rate hikes, one or the other.
Murat Gulkin, chief executive of OMG Capital Advisors in Istanbul. Thank you so much for breaking this down for us this morning.
Thank you.
Well, checking on some other financial markets now, European stocks are little changed at this hour. The Brent and West Texas oil benchmarks are up about 0.1%. That's despite a number of countries yesterday unleashing barrels of oil from their strategic reserves. Later today, Germany's incoming government will unveil its coalition deal. That will give us all an idea of the direction Europe's largest economy will take. For the first time, Germany will be governed by the center-left Social Democrats in coalition with the Green Party and the business-friendly Liberals. With some of the details of what's expected, here's the BBC's Damian McGuinness in Berlin.
Germany's new incoming government looks set to promise what it calls a radical modernisation of the country. By 2030, coal power should be phased out 8 years earlier than originally planned, and 80% of German energy should come from renewables. The minimum wage will be increased, and the voting age will be lowered from 18 to 16. There's even a plan to legalise the use of cannabis. There's no guarantee that everything will be put into law. The concrete details will be worked out by the new cabinet, and the bills would then have to be passed by Germany's parliament. But given the coalition's strong majority in the lower house, most of these commitments should become reality. The next stage is for each of the three governing parties to vote on the coalition agreement. If all goes to plan, the new centre-left SPD Chancellor Olaf Scholz would then be sworn in December.
That's the BBC's Damian McGuinness reporting from Berlin there. Scamming people out of their money is not a new trend, but it has become a multi-billion dollar global industry. You may have even experienced some of this yourself, like a text with a link to claim compensation for an accident you never had, or a call saying a member of your family is in trouble and you need to send cash urgently. The pandemic has caused this kind of fraud to boom, but a growing band of so-called scam baiters are trying to get revenge, as the BBC's Mike Johnson reports.
Imagine getting a call like this.
Congratulations! You've been selected for a $100 Walmart gift card.
What do you do next? Most of us would just hang up, but not everyone.
My name's Rosie Okumura. I am a voice actor based out of Los Angeles. I'm also a musician, and I use both my music and voice acting skills to scam bait scammers.
Rosie deliberately calls the kind of people no one should be talking to and engages them in pointless conversation, sometimes for more than an hour, while pretending to be someone else.
Oh, baby, baby.
Here she is as Britney Spears.
'Cause I need to know now because...
Okay, your turn.
Damn, you're good.
Rosie Okumura now has almost 2 million followers across YouTube, Instagram and TikTok, where she posts videos of her encounters with scammers.
My scam baiting all started a couple years ago when my mom fell victim to a pop-up scam on her computer. I asked her for the phone number because I wanted to call back and get a little bit of revenge, and I just kind of became addicted to it.
I'm wondering if you have a guilty conscience working at the call center.
How do you know that I work in call center?
I know because I'm a computer. My name is Alexa. I know many things.
Rosie spends 2 to 3 hours a day, 4 days a week doing this sort of thing. Her popularity on social media has earned her advertising deals with companies. Her followers donate money to her as well.
People will see the videos and go, oh, now I know what to look out for. So if I get the call, I'm not going to fall for it.
For pandemic, read Scamdemic, with new waves of junk calls, texts and emails promising COVID cures, vaccines and stimulus payments. Some scam baiters are prepared to break the law, hacking into fraudsters' CCTV and computer systems to try to sabotage their activities. Mark Button is Professor of Security and Fraud at the University of Portsmouth in southern England.
Where I start to get skeptical about scam baiting is when the scam baiters start administering their own justice. Some of these scammers are actually slaves. They're entrapped by organised criminals and forced to scam us in the West.
If you don't fancy joining the scam baiters, the best advice to avoid joining the scammed is don't click on any suspicious links, and if you're at all unsure about the identity of a caller, do just hang up. I'm the BBC's Mike Johnson for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.